Dear friends in Christ, it was Monday, Thursday evening. Jesus was sitting with his disciples after he instituted the Lord's Supper, mere hours before he's going to be arrested and betrayed and arrested, put under trial, crucified. Less than 24 hours again, he would be dead. And so he prayed that high priestly prayer, which was our gospel for today, and he said the words of the verse of our gospel acclamation. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Orphans, of course, are those who are all alone. They don't have any parents or close family members. No one to watch out for them. No one to take care of them. No one to provide for them. They're all alone. Now, we're kind of in that weird transitionary period in time for the church in the church year, right? Jesus ascended to heaven on Thursday, and it hasn't been until next week when we'll celebrate Pentecost when Jesus sends his Holy Spirit. And it may seem, and it may have seemed to the disciples, that they were all alone. Especially the disciples after Jesus died for those 3 days until Easter, they thought he was all alone, and yet Jesus assures them that they were not. At times it may seem as if we are all alone in our spiritual lives, that we are spiritual orphans. But even in the story of Stephen, we see that our ascended Lord has not left us alone, that we are not spiritual orphans, that he watches over us and will take us to live with him in heaven forever. In the few years after Christ ascended into heaven, the church grew rapidly, right? Again, we'll talk about Pentecost next week when thousands of people were brought to faith in that one sermon of Peter's. And it wasn't just that one time. More and more people were becoming brought to faith, so much so that the church was growing that the 12 apostles couldn't keep up with it. And so they decided to grab 7 helpers. Men who are to have a good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. And a man named Stephen was one of those 7 men that we call deacons. They were chosen to kind of run the everyday operations of the church. More or less, specifically, was to wait on tables, was to watch the daily distribution of food to help out the poor and the needy. But these deacons, they didn't just wait on tables. Philip was another one. We know Philip, who preached the gospel in Samaria, who baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. And Stephen, the first thing we see him doing is not waiting on tables. We see him preaching the gospel. And he told others about Jesus, and this made some Jews angry. So they attacked him, and they eventually arrested Stephen and placed him in front of the Sanhedrin, the same Jewish ruling council that had sentenced Jesus to death about maybe 2 years or so earlier. And Stephen, instead of cowering or apologizing or backing down, took this as an opportunity before these Jewish leaders to preach a sermon. Preach a sermon about the history of the Old Testament people. And he detailed the rebellion that the Jewish people had against God. He mentioned how God had, by his grace, chosen Abraham and his descendants to be his very own people. And from that line would come the promised Messiah. But those very people sentenced or sold their own brother Joseph into slavery. Then 400 years later, when God sent Moses to save the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, they rejected Moses as their leader and constantly rebelled against God for 40 years in the wilderness. And yet God still dwelled among his people inside the tabernacle. God dwelled among his people and then later on in the temple, and yet the history of the Old Testament is a history of rebellion of those Old Testament believers who, even though they had a visible manifestation of God right in their midst, went after the false gods of the pagan worlds around them. And then he put the hammer down. And he said, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. You are doing just what your fathers did." All chapter 7 is filled with examples of how the Jews rebelled against God. And he said, "You guys are just the same way. Just as you failed to obey God's commands, you have done it for centuries." And he continued, "Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who prophesied the coming of the righteous one, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers." Again, the history of the Old Testament is a history of the people rebelling against God's own prophets, kings, and other leaders, not listening to the prophets that God sent to them, like Elijah and Elisha, Isaiah. Jeremiah was one who faced heavy persecution, who prophesied about the Messiah. And now you killed the one you had been waiting for. For thousands of years, you've been waiting for Christ to come, for the Messiah to come, for God to fulfill his promise, and when he came, you killed him. So here Stephen was, standing in front of this Jewish ruling council, the same council that sentenced Jesus to death. For what? For preaching about Jesus, for doing what is right. It may have seemed to Stephen as if he was all alone. Who knows where the disciples were, the apostles were at this time. But here is Stephen standing trial for doing what is right. He could have backed down. Instead, he was bold and confident in his Lord. At times, it may seem as if we too are all alone in this faith. Maybe when you look at your life and your family's life, spiritual lives, as compared to other family members, maybe it's just you who are Christians or are Lutheran. Or we compare ourselves to our co-workers or our friends and our family and realize, yeah, we might be all alone in our faith. Or even if we can look at ourselves as a synod at large, or maybe in those we're in fellowship with throughout the world, yeah, there's millions of them and hundreds of thousands of those in a synod, and yet compared to the world at large, it seems as if we're all alone. That there's not many of us fighting the good fight, defending the truth, sharing the gospel, and increasingly the world, at least our society, is becoming contrary to the gospel, hostile to this world, as if it's all up to us to be a salt and a light to this world. It's all up to us to defend the truth of the gospel, and there's not many people left who are fighting on our side. And maybe we won't face the type of persecution that Stephen did. No one here in America is really being put to death for our faith. Not anyone is being arrested for our faith or thrown in jail, beaten. Instead, we're vilified. We're mocked. We're called ignorant and intolerant, gullible and bigoted. We might lose friendships, right? We might get left out of a job promotion. Maybe family members don't want anything to do with us, and other similar things. And in this world that is increasingly hostile to Christianity, and we're facing these issues and problems, and there's not many people fighting on our side, again, it may seem as if we're all alone. But remember our gospel acclamation, God's promise to his disciples on that Monday, Thursday, "I will not leave you as orphans." And God keeps all of his promises. And we even see that in Stephen. Even Stephen, as he's being stoned to death, even Stephen, as he dies, God still kept his promise, "I will not leave you as orphans." How so? Well, as Stephen is knocked to his knees, as Stephen is getting pummeled with stones and is about ready to die, he sees a glimpse of heaven. Luke tells us, full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed up into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. As Stephen is dying, he gets a picture of what's going on in heaven. Our ascended Lord sitting on the throne of God, watching over his creation, watching over Stephen as he dies. And knowing exactly what is going on and understanding exactly what is going on. As God, he knows all things. As God, he can see all things and understand all things, but he also has firsthand experience because he became a man and lived among us, and he too was rejected, and he too was sentenced to that same death by that same Jewish ruling council, and he knows and understands, and as God, he has the power to do what is right and has the power to do as whatever he chooses. Our ascended Lord, sitting on the throne of God, watching over his entire creation, watching over his people, watching over Stephen. He's not some God who just lets it go. He's not just some God who doesn't really care, but he's able to sympathize and empathize and cares about each and every one of us, no matter how small or insignificant we may see. That even though he is up in heaven on the throne of God, he's still right here with us. Watching over us, guarding and protecting us. He's in our hearts through faith. And that is true of Stephen, even as he was being put to death. And as he's on his knees, he cries out to the Lord, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Reminds us of what Jesus said when he died on the cross, right? "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." What a prayer by Stephen, not only to mimic and to follow the example of Jesus, but it is a prayer of a believer at his death. Not pointing out the good works that he had done, not pointing out the reasons why he should be saved, just a plea for mercy, a plea for salvation. Because Stephen knew that he had nothing to offer the Lord. He could not boast and brag about anything he had done. But it's all by the mercy of Jesus. Jesus who lived the perfect life that Stephen could not. Jesus who died an innocent death, again, at the hands of the Sanhedrin. Jesus who willingly went to that cross to pay for our sins so that he could cover over our offenses and take the damnation that we deserve. Jesus, who took then his perfect life and gave it to us, and on account of Jesus, our Lord looks at us and he doesn't see us as the sinners that we truly are, but he sees the perfect life of his Son and he declares us not guilty. Stephen knew that life after death. Just as Jesus rose from the dead and was victorious, he says that as I live, you too will live. So Stephen cries out to Jesus, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And there in heaven, there's no more pain or sorrow, no persecution, no death, no bruises or broken bones. Paradise with our Savior forever. It's that faith that Stephen had, that faith that he knew it wasn't about himself, but about Jesus, that he was able to fight that good fight. Bold and confident on that day. Not only did Stephen mimic the words of Jesus on the cross when he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He also mimicked the words of Jesus when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they didn't know what they were doing." He said the same thing, "Lord Jesus, do not hold this sin against them." It's interesting when we look at the words of Stephen, and as he's dying, he's not complaining. He's not even asking God to save him. He's praying for the forgiveness of those who are killing him. And he's longing for heaven. God was with Stephen. Now Stephen is with God. He overcame the world. And so do we. No matter what we face, we overcome the world. As we talk about Stephen, I can't help but think of what Paul talks about in Romans 8. Paul, who too was persecuted and put to death for his faith, at the end of Romans 8, Paul asks those rhetorical questions. If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, the answer is no one. And what can separate us from the love of God? Again, nothing. Not even life nor death can separate us from the love of God. And that seems ridiculous to the unbelieving world. How can you say that we have overcome the world when Christians are put to death? How can you say that nothing can separate us from God's love when Christians die? And when Christians go through trouble and hardship and persecution? Because we have an eternal life to come. I also think about a verse that shows up many times in the Bible. One place is Psalm 118. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? In the end, they can do nothing. They can mock us and ridicule us. They can call us names. They may even throw us in jail and arrest us and not give us job promotions and beat us. They may even kill us. They can't do anything. Because we have eternal life to come. Paradise with our Savior. Because Jesus overcame the world. He died on the cross. He rose victorious. And we see it with Paul, we see it with Stephen, we will see it with us. Even when we die, we live in paradise with our Savior forever. No matter what we go through, no matter what we experience, the troubles, the hardships, the difficulties, we have paradise, perfection, waiting in heaven. And so we can be bold, and we can be confident like Stephen to share the gospel. To share the good news about Jesus. That this life is not all there is. That there is a life to come. So we don't live with our eyes focused on what we suffer through or what we go through and even the good things in this world. We live our lives with heaven in mind. Knowing that because Jesus has overcome the world and his victory is our victory, we too will overcome the world. And even though it might seem as if we're orphans, it might seem as if we're all alone, or if like we're Elijah and there's only a few left, no, God's with us. And he'll be with us until he calls us home. Or we will be with him and all his believers, singing his praises forever. Amen.